This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Hanging out as we are sounding off. Steve Ulscher here with Mary Goulet. Richie Ote. What's up, baby?
How's it going, Steve?
Alright. And we got a very special guest joining us in studio today, Mr. Russ Ruffino. How you doing, my man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Alrighty, so we are sounding off. That is what we do here at the at the beginning of each of the hours here on Reinvention Radio, and we cover a lot of ground, man. So you're in for a big surprise and a whole lot of treats. Are you excited about that?
Oh yeah, good times.
Yeah, good time. All right.
Are
so
these the treats?
Those are the treats. Yeah, I've got half of I'm not even going to call it a warmed up butter croissant at this point. I'm going to call it a lukewarm, maybe even borderline cold. Bitten butter croissant. You ready? You
good? That
for
works.
That works for you. All right. Awesome. So lots going on. Lots to talk about, and not the least of which, of course, is there are some things that I have been thinking about that I wanted to bring up to you guys. And if you've been listening to What Is Your What Wednesdays and Move It Forward Mondays and our Soulful Sundays, you know, we've been covering a lot of ground here on the show. And for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast edition here of Reinvention Radio, we do very much appreciate that. And remember, we do broadcast live every Thursday from 12 until 2 Pacific. And you can join in the fun at reinventionradio.com, watch us live, hang out with us live, and call us at 866-977-2346. And we, of course, would love to have you. So, you know, Richie, let me ask you this, because I think you can appreciate this more than anything else, just because of, and maybe Russ, you can appreciate this as well. But this last weekend, there was something that they do every year in sports. And Mary, I don't know, you don't watch much sports, right?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Football and golf.
Football and golf. God, if I put golf on for my kids, they literally cry. Like, this is like, if I want to get tears from my children, like, they don't cry much anymore. If I want to get them to cry, just put on golf and they sob uncontrollably. But I think it's just because it's like the most boring thing in the world. Like when I was a kid and I used to watch golf, I never understood how people could watch golf. Like, do you, Russ, play?
No, I played golf once when I was like 14 and I sucked and I never touched it again. I don't like to do things I'm terrible at.
Yeah, well, so it's smarter than the rest of us. I go on the golf course and literally, like, I can feel like a little tremor. People think it's an earthquake when I, you know, that moment. It's not an earthquake. It's the tremor that you're feeling actually is the golf course itself. It's just – it's scared and it's shaking that I'm about to do the damage that I'm about to do to it. But anyway, this past weekend, they had the NBA All-Star Game. And I don't know, did you watch any of it, Richie? Do you tune in any of that stuff?
Not to – that's the one All-Star game I don't watch anymore.
That's the one All-Star game you don't watch anymore. Okay. And Mary, do you watch that?
I was out all weekend doing stuff, so I didn't watch.
Yeah, no, priorities. Watch. No. And yeah. Russ, did you?
No, I did not watch.
Do you have kids, by the way, Russ?
Yes, I have one son.
You have one son. How old is your...
He's 16 months.
16?
Oh, wow. Man. Right. So you're not sleeping.
Yeah, so
no.
That explains why you drove all the way down from...
Yeah.
Where did you come from to be with us?
Laguna.
Laguna right. Yeah. From Laguna to be with us here. Yeah, exactly. Just because you're like, you know what, honey? I got to be in San Diego at noon. And I'm going to leave like 7 o'clock the night before just to make sure you get here,
exactly.
Get here on time. 16 months. Good God.
Yeah. That's when driving in traffic was more relaxing than actually. Not as fun, but more relaxing.
He's so cute, though. He's such a happy kid. Like he's like he's just like happy and excited to see you, and he's like, "Dada!" Like,
oh, man.
Like,
oh,
that's
man.
Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, stab me in the heart.
It does change.
It does. Well, not only does it change, but the second kid is usually like the one, because like the first one, I don't know historically if that's been the case with you, Mary. You got the world's greatest kid. So Richie, you've got an awesome.
I don't know, it sounds like Russ has got a good one.
Well,
too.
Yeah, and Russ has
he's
got a good
kid.
Oh, and our firstborn is amazing. And don't get me wrong, I love my secondborn, but goddamn, that was a much different. Like raising the second one as opposed to the first one, much, much, much different experience. So I'm from Chicago. We moved out here to San Diego a couple years ago. We had a home in Southwest Michigan. So like literally we would have to drive. You do the little loopsy thing through Indiana and underneath Lake Michigan, and then you end up in Southwest Michigan. There was a time where literally that boy, our second child, cried through the whole state. Through the whole state of Indiana. Like, literally, like, we hit the bridge, you know, like, coming into Chicago, and that's when he stopped. It was like, I don't know how to explain it, but other than the fact that, like, he's got this really weird, keen sense for, like, when we leave Chicago and when we return. Because, like, the whole state, when he was 2 years old, literally, the whole state of Indiana cried through the whole damn thing. But anyway, if I want to get my kids to cry, I'll put on some golf, and that'll make them cry. But the NBA All-Star Game was this weekend, and it got me thinking, like, you know, there are people out there in the world who are doing some just absolutely amazing, incredible work. And Russ, we're going to be talking about that, you know, quite a bit on your segment. And it just, it floors me that these guys get paid as much as they get paid to play that game of basketball. When you look at, like, I don't know, did you, so Richie, I don't know if you've seen
it,
any of the stats.
It fails in comparison to what the owners are getting paid, but go ahead.
Well, and that's the other thing, right, is how much are the owners getting paid if they can be paying these guys so much money? But I there was a crazy stat, and I don't know if it was, if someone just was throwing this out just for the heck of it or if it had any accuracy to it or not, but based on the starting lineups, when you take a look at the salaries of those 10 players, so the starting lineups, right? You know, you got the LeBron James of the world, and you've got the – do you know
I
LeBron?
I do know what that is, yes.
Okay, you know LeBron.
You're
okay.
Boring me. This is
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to a point here. And the point is, when you looked at the starting lineup, in terms of what they were making per minute to be on that floor, it was something in the neighborhood of like $25 or $26 million, like per minute for that starting lineup to be on the floor. And it was an insane amount of money. And it got me thinking, like, good God, what is wrong? What's going on here in terms of when we're paying people that much money to do the jobs that they do, which granted, I mean, you know, it's not 82 games a year plus playoffs plus practice and all that. I mean, it's work, but we all have the same 24 hours a day. We all have the same 7 days a week. And yet some people make so much more money than other people. I just wonder at some point here now, especially with, you know, with the political environment that we're in and everybody kind of being in their state of upset either on either side, really, everybody's just angry. I just wonder if we're going to start to see more of a real distribution of wealth as people have been talking about. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up and just see kind of what your thoughts were. And if there was any, like for me, when you look at the teachers, right, and you look at the cops and you look at the people who truly do the real, quote-unquote, real work in the world, they're not getting paid nearly as much as they should for the impact that they have. And that, if we could figure out how to distribute some of that wealth down to those types of people, that would be a winner for me. But I guess my question really is more than anything else, do you see anything changing in terms of the distribution of wealth? And Russ, let me get your take on it, because I know you help a lot of entrepreneurs and you do a lot of things there. Do you ever see the point of being able to get some of these entrepreneurs, and maybe it's not even entrepreneurs, maybe it's just the folks who have the money, do you see them distributing it in any sort of way that can be more impactful on a greater level, on a greater basis?
Well, I think we have wealthy people in this country, and all people in this country are, I think Americans are some of the most charitable people in the world. I think after 9/11, you saw this tremendous outpouring where, I mean, everybody opened their wallets. I don't care, you know, how wealthy you were. And, you know, so I think that there are people that use their wealth to circulate it and to create more abundance for other people. So, like, let's say you are a rich guy. Let's say you're a really rich guy and you decide to build a $20 million house. You might look at that and say, well, that's such a huge extravagance, and oh my God, and who could afford a $20 million house? But you have to look at how many people that employs. You're talking about construction crews, electricians, wiring guys to carve out your exotic Italian marble in Italy and put it on a boat and ship it over, and then the guy has to go and ship it to your house and bring it there and install it just the right way. So it's like, as people spend and circulate more money, that just creates more economic activity. And at the end of the day, that's a situation where I think everybody wins. So
does it trickle down?
Does it? I think so. I mean, I think it does. But like, okay, like, look, like, let's look at like LeBron James or one of these guys,
sure,
right? The amount of money that they're making is equal to, actually it's probably less, slightly less than, or equal to the value that they are creating in the world. So you look at this, right? How many tickets are sold because LeBron is on that court? How many minutes of advertising are sold on those commercials and at what price? How many people work there to clean up the stadium, to sell the food, to go there, to have fun? How many people work in the parking lot? Like,
that was part of the beauty of him going back to Cleveland, right? Because it wasn't happening with him not there.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And so, the economic impact of
that. So all of this economic activity is created because this guy is amazing at basketball. So it's like my philosophy is, if you're creating that much value for that many people, it's like more power to you.
Yeah. Tiger Woods, when he had his debacle, it crushed the golf industry for a while.
Yeah.
It really did. Because everybody went to see him.
And speaking of debacles, we kind of got off here on a little bit of an odd foot at the beginning of our segment here. So our segment has been cut down by just a wee little bit. And unfortunately, we're going to have to pick up this conversation again at a later date. But I think it's just a really interesting topic for us to begin thinking about. And Russ, your point is really well taken, is that economic impact and that distribution of wealth goes beyond just simply what you see in those, you know, in those gargantuan salaries. And I think it's a really a good point well taken. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have to cut out of this episode of The Sound Off here on Reinvention Radio, and make sure you stay tuned as we've got Russ Ruffino on. We're going to be talking about reinventing the sale of high ticket items and so much more. Talk to you guys soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.